community, I'm sure you've heard the devastating news that after 10 seasons, the incredible, incredible housewife, who I have said many times is my favorite, she's taken her peach and she's retiring. That's right. The incredible, unparalleled Portia Williams has released an Instagram statement that says, after 10 life-changing, gratifying, incredible years, it's time to begin my next chapter. She will not be returning to The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She says it was difficult for her to come to terms with, and it's been very difficult for Danielle and I, especially me, to come to terms with. I would like to thank and salute Portia Williams and dedicate this episode, and frankly, all episodes that have come before it, to her. Truly the Lucille Ball of the franchise, Portia Williams. Well, I'm crying. What's happening to me, guys? Thank you for your service. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey. I almost said, hi, Casey, dear. That's not weird.
That's nice. Oh, Danielle, there's so much to discuss in the realm that is Bravo, Housewives, Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, my Lord.
Lord of mercy.
I do want to just also kind of remind everyone before we start that we have a live From Home Bitch Says show coming up. Most important thing.
We're calling it a spooktacular because it is our annual Halloween show. We took 1 year off last year, obviously for the pandemic. We're coming back. We're so excited. We have done these only in LA previously, and people have dressed up as, I mean, we can't even tell you. Someone dressed up as Tinsley Mortimer's frozen eggs once. So the costumes, please take your liberties.
Yes, we've had people dress up as Hanky and Panky, Lisa Vanderpump Swans.
We've had someone dress up as Ken falling onto that Baja shelf. I mean, please. And I know you're home by yourself, but I promise you, if you dress up in a costume, you're going to send us a photo at the top of the show. And by the end of the show, we will have a slideshow put together and prizes. There's nothing more delightful than seeing, as you call it, Danielle, Andy Cohen cosplay.
It's beautiful. It makes us happy. I promise you, it will make you happy. In a year where we're hopefully coming out of COVID, but we're still taking precautions, this will really be a bright light. And it's going to be so fun. We have a great guest, a fan favorite, Jason Mantzoukas, who everyone remembers said the famous phrase, "Can everybody see Ken?" Speaking of Ken Vanderpump.
Lovely. And it's going to be so fun. Dress up in your costume, then get right back in bed with your glass of wine. You know, that's the kind of level. And it's been so fun for us to see everyone chatting because everyone can participate while the show is going on. And the chatting is honestly just as, if not more entertaining in some ways than the show, although we have some very special surprises. We will also be debuting our new art for our show and our content shoot and the video behind the shoot. So please, you can get your tickets at looped.com. The show is October 21st, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be wild, wild ride. Links to tickets in our Instagrams.
Guys, we cannot wait. We are building to this in a way I've never done more prep in my life.
Neither have I. I'm like, I hope someone sees this because we've been working on it.
In other news.
So, you know, there have been some feuds that are online. You know, we always see them. Some people will get in feuds, typically housewives with each other.
Yeah, or housewives with, you know, just another city. There's just all sorts of feuds. But I never thought that one of our own.
One of our nearest and dearest.
Nearest and dearest would get one, rightfully so, and have it then become so public, so in the papers, in the press.
That is our one Matt McConkie is in a public. This has hit page six. This has hit yahoonews.com.
I think it's not even in People.
That's right. With one Ms. Bethany Skinny Girl Frankel. It is gathering steam. So Matt was a faithful listener to Bethany's podcast and alerted us immediately. She has made some incredibly transphobic comments in her podcast, her September 23rd podcast. She kind of goes on a rant about it. And then after being called out incredibly by Matt McConkie, she then doubles down and saying, oh, cancel me if you want to. Like, I didn't do anything. So kind of dismissive and defensive. And I'd like to read what Matt wrote her because this is
beautiful.
means being published in papers. He says, and I quote, "Hi, Beth. I was going to quote the transphobic language you used in your horrific intro to this episode, but it's too hurtful to even put in writing. Maybe do the bare minimum of research before you speak to your audience." Then Deanna Chang weighs in, and she is also a part of all of this. She says, "Agree. I've listened to almost every episode, and this rant was completely offensive and disgusting. How dare she?" Then Matt gets back into the fray after she, you know, denies everything. Matt goes on to say in his rebuttal, "Bethany would not have her platform without the support of the Housewives loving queer community." Matt McConkie tells DailyMail.com, "She has a responsibility to speak to and about our community with respect. When she repeatedly referred to a trans child as a girl with a penis while perpetuating old hateful stereotypes depicting trans people as predators, it was a shock. And her riff on pronoun confusion sounded like a hack 90s stand-up routine."
Slam!
Slam! Danielle Bethany replies by simply saying, quote, "I didn't do one thing wrong."
Jesus, to not even say, "Oh, let me listen to what everybody is saying and maybe
let me
think about that and listen to what I say and maybe hear that, like, oh, I know I've done that when people have, you know, addressed me on certain things. I try and take it in and hear it." But no, she just said simply, "I've never done anything wrong, and I'm proud of Matt."
Proud of you, Matt, for standing up for your community and honestly for all the values of our listeners here in this community, which
podcast.
Is such an empathic, inclusive community. I feel like this was a win for all of us.
Yeah, I'm proud. Proud to be associated with our dear Matt McConkie.
As always.
Always.
So that's happening.
I would like to talk about something that's happening in my world.
Oh, okay.
Which I sort of talked about online a little bit on Instagram, and people asked if I could update them on what happened. And so I just want to give. So the other night I was forced, and I'd like to use the word forced, to give the sex talk to my daughter. Mm. It was a goddamn mess. It was a roller coaster and a mess.
What happened?
Well, you know, I've had the talk with her a little bit before, but because I've always heard that, like, when kids are ready, they'll ask you. You know, like, they'll start asking questions, and that's how you know they're ready, that you can start talking about it. And again, everyone has different things that they do. Every family is different. This is what I heard and how I wanted to deal with it. And I also want to be open and use real terms but also just for what she's ready for. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So she started talking about that she had a dream that she was having a baby. And she doesn't want to have a baby. And I was like, well, you don't have to. And she's like, well, why wouldn't I have a baby? And I was like, well, because you're not old enough and you're not doing things that make you have a baby. And she's like, well, how do you have a baby? So then we went into it and I basically explained it all.
The penis goes into it.
Penis goes into the vagina. And she said then, will you show me with your hands? To do what we all did as kids, which is like take my finger and shove it in my other hands that were a hole.
That time-tested gesture. Universal symbol, really.
Yes, everybody knows when you put one hand as a hole and the other hand as a...
Now, you're shoving two fingers into the hole on the Zoom. Well, I thought it was one, but maybe you're kind of referring to her father's big dick.
Maybe you're working with a thicker form. She was disgusted, horrified, just so upset by it all. Had so many follow-up questions that I had to go into. She misunderstood. And then I told her about semen and sperm. And then she was like getting it mixed up with breastfeeding it. And then she's like, so you have to put your mouth on the penis? And I was like, no, your mouth goes nowhere near that.
If you want to keep your man.
If you want to keep your man, you put your mouth on that penis.
By the way, my dear friend's mom always tells me and my friend, who I've known her since third grade, and it's startling to hear a mom say this. She's always like, Casey, you've got to be giving blowjobs. It's just that Southern advice.
You got to be giving blowjobs.
You've got a handsome man.
It was traumatic in every way. She's traumatized. And then she's like, she's so traumatized. And then she's like, I got to tell all my friends. And I was like, no. do not tell anyone. I said, this, you know, see how you're kind of shocked and like still processing this right now? Well, that's, you know, your friends have to deal with this with their parents. Like this right. is something to discuss right. with their. And I also was trying to not be so heteronormative when I was like talking about sex. And I was also talking, you know, like, and different types of people have, you know, like I'm just trying to open yeah. it all up.
One day we all have to open up our vaginas or our butts.
My God. Or our butts.
I mean, you're a great mom. I think you have such, that's so beautiful. I'm learning, you know, about like answering the questions, but also maybe not giving every single detail, mm-hmm. you know, age appropriate detail. But of course, like discussing the hard topics earlier, you know, I think we've seen through research is and not skirting them is better. I mean, I never heard any of this from my parents. So it's
no, either did I.
Not a fucking word.
And I wasn't sure whether I should answer it, but she asked. And so
I know, I think you did an amazing job. I just learned a lot myself.
So anyway, that's we're still processing all of it.
Yeah, it's so hard to know what to say. Like the other day, my son was like, I had a really bad dream. He's six. He's like, I woke up and you weren't there and all these things happen. And why I launch into the unconscious and like Freud is beyond me. I looked in the rearview mirror. We're driving to school and I'm like, so that could have been your unconscious mind at work. And I'm like, you know, your conscious mind is what you're doing currently in this and that. But really, there might be fighting, you know, your unconscious mind might be at war with your conscious mind. He looked at me, Danielle. And then he was like, am I staying after school? I'm like, okay.
Well, when they're not ready for something, they tell you pretty easily.
Wasn't ready for that.
Well, that's why. And Sydney had so many questions about sex. So I was like, okay. And then I got a book that my friend recommended that I don't have. Oh, it's called like, It's Not About the Stork or It's Not the Stork. My good friend Erica Rivenoia recommended it to me.
Yeah, let's get a book going.
Yeah. Like well, then she goes, Mommy, you know what my favorite picture is? And I'm like, what? And then she points to the boy with like all the penis parts. I was like, good to know. She's like, can't stop looking at this. She goes, I can't stop looking at it.
Danielle, she is such a spark plug. I love her.
She's a girl after my own heart. Spark plug. Can't stop looking at that D.
Can't stop. Did you give her any pointers on how to keep that area trimmed up?
No, I don't. I said, let it fly. Let it flow.
Let the river run. Oh, wow, Danielle. Well, I love her. And that's wonderful. My son said something funny, and not to make this like the chat and the chew on my end, because you're telling beautiful kind of heartwarming stories. But I thought this would make you laugh because we went and saw The Sound of Music live together.
Yes, we did.
And we were crying at the hottest motherfucking man that's ever graced the screen. And that's Christopher Plummer as Captain. You were like jizzing while you watched it.
Yeah, Casey, you said to me, you're growling. You have to stop. Because I kept
and then
going,
you
like,
were like, I've never felt more horny people for Captain Von Trapp, more horny audience. He was like, Edelweiss. People were like, ooh.
I literally went, ugh.
No, it was really upsetting, but we all feel that way. And the heat, the oof. Steam heat happening ooh. Between him and Maria. Oh, oh. But so since then, my son and I, we've been listening to The Sound of Music. I mean, I've seen it thousands of times, but it's kind of fun. My little guy really, really loves all the songs. So we're listening to My Favorite Things. And we've heard it now, you know, 1,000 times, my 4-year-old. And finally, he just goes, you know, that part that's like doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles. And so we turn the song off and he's quiet and he goes, whose favorite thing is doorbells? And then he goes, what? Mama, they love pressing them? They love to puff them. Like, is that the reason why doorbells is on here? And then, of course, I launch into like singing and wordplay and songs. And again, nobody wants it.
You're like, you really need some song time if you want to hear some lyrics.
Right. And kind of not relying on the rhyme. And,
no, it's about the alliteration.
It made me laugh. It's like, well, whose favorite thing is it?
Whose favorite thing is doorbells?
The doorbells. Well, mama.
Oh, I love
wow, that. Danielle. You know, before we get to our guest, the final thing I just want to say is we did hear about a breakup in the Housewives universe.
Mm.
And that is when Vicki Gunvalson and Steve Lodge have called
former governor candidate Steve Lodge.
Former almost ugh. First lady anti-vaxxer Victoria Gumbelson have parted ways.
I wish them both misery forever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wish them both the very worst.
I do. I wish them lonely lives.
Nothing but the worst.
Nothing but the worst for our Vicky G.
May they ride off into the opposite of a sunset. may they ride off into hell. actually, Danielle, we have one more thing to discuss before our guest comes out. And that is episode one has dropped of Vanderpump Rules. New season.
Yes.
Impressions, thoughts? I watched.
You know, we're just getting started. We're getting, you know, it's a lot of the old gang, some of the old gang missing. No one knew.
We've kicked out all the young gals and girls, like all the youngies that kind of they tried to bring up the ranks are gone.
Except for that one, Charlie.
And we're leaning back into our core members, of course, without Stassi, without
Kristen
without Jax. And Jax's fiance!
Brittany! I'm just getting my bearings. I didn't have a lot. I did think, and I think the same of this with Ashley on Potomac. I'm always like, don't come for a woman who's just had a baby. I don't care what you got to say to them. Just don't come for a woman that's just had a baby. Like, it's all just like too much.
I'm going to say something like, this isn't to be funny. This isn't to be like, this was a genuine emotion that washed over me when I watched it this morning, was especially when they cut to the credits, and it was just startling not to see Jax with his like open shirt.
Yeah.
Holding that martini glass. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't miss Stassi and Kristen actually, but a wave of genuine kind of ennui and sadness washed over me that Jax is gone. And I know all the things he's done. Don't come at me. It's just,
we know
it's
like he's problematic.
Change is hard.
Yeah. And also when you've been in even a bad relationship, you can still miss the bad relationship. You know what I mean? Like you still
I was just like, oh, he's really gone.
Even when a bad person is your life, you still can go like, oh, there's an emptiness that bad person. Hopefully it opens us up to the good people that are coming in. We'll see. We can't wait to see.
And I don't know if any good people are coming in except for Max.
Max.
Really? Okay, so now they're leaning into anyone. They're like, okay, Max, take a martini glass. You're front and center now.
I'm glad to have Max in our, you know, because I hope he's not still a busboy, but I'm glad to have Max in our ranks. And I can't believe Lisa sort of like let James talked to him that way. I know she was like having him come over to apologize, but if someone talked to my child, and I don't care if they're an adult, in that way, you would see me kick them out of my house, reach across, smack the shit. Like I would never, I was like, I will kill you. You will not work for me. You will not step on my show. I would kill.
That's exactly what I thought. And if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, James Kennedy and Max apparently go to Dantana's. That's their spot in Beverly Hills. And they get embroiled in what sounds like truly like a 10 out of a fight almost. It sounds not unlike like Candace and Monique, like just under that, regarding a side salad.
They didn't want to split.
There's a lot of salad kind of themes cropping up, and we'll discuss it later, but we've got Mia throwing salad at Candace now. We've got, you know, Max didn't want to pay for an extra salad. And what I kind of want to say is interesting is, again, and I know I don't believe in inherited wealth either, nor does Daniel Craig or June Diane Raphael, but I do feel a little bit like, can't Max spring for a side salad given all the money his parents have? That made me feel a bit sad.
I also feel like, well, they seem to be giving Pandy tons of money.
So that's what I mean. It's like, where's the equality? Then to your point, then Lisa mediates between James and Max. And the thought that came to my mind was, and it's really dark, Lisa wishes James was her son. She let her son walk out and she stayed with James in her own home. And I love Max. He's a sweetheart.
I felt sick.
Yeah. All right. Well, more to come with Vanderpump, but let's get to our guest.
You can't wait.
Oh, Danielle.
We have such a treat today. I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
Too. I am too.
Because this woman is she's an icon.
I know.
She's a business woman.
I told you when you logged on, I was very upset by the way and I love you so much. And
I know you
do. You're so beautiful, but the way you're presenting yourself to our guests.
I know. I did for this, for no one do I put on my ring light. I'm always just like, no one's going to see this. And you're like, but this guest, you can't throw on a ring light for her.
I need to put it on for our live show. People like, paid for that. And you were sitting in front of that treadmill.
But I will say that she is a hero. She is a author. I mean, we'll go through her many accomplishments.
Yes. Let me just give her a quick, a proper introduction. And our guest, as we bragged about last week, is Phoebe Robinson. She's a writer, actress, New York Times bestselling author. And what I don't want today to happen, Danielle, is for you to feel upset.
That I'm the only one that's
of the three of us. and I don't want that for you. And I hope Phoebe doesn't bring that energy.
I feel like you do. I feel like it.
I know. It does seem that, but that's not what I want. Phoebe is the creator and co-host of the Two Dope Queens podcast and the subsequent HBO series. Mm-hmm. She has two previous books, which I've read both of, You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Still Have to Explain. Her second book, Everything's Trash, But It's Okay. And her most recent book is a collection of essays, which I had the pleasure of reading before and then listened to again, is Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. It's just a simple request that she has.
It's so good. It's so good. Plus, she has an imprint, her own imprint called Tiny Reparations Books. It's a highly curated imprint dedicated to publishing both literary fiction and nonfiction, as well as essay collections.
She has a new HBO Max stand-up special. What's happening? What are we doing?
I really,
and a Comedy Central late night talk show, Doing the Most with Phoebe Robinson, which is so hilarious. I will also just recommend the section with my dear pal Whitney Cummings. It's wild stuff. Please welcome and Housewives fan. I think that's where
yes. And most importantly, save that for the tippy top.
That's right. Of all her accomplishments, please welcome Phoebe Robinson.
Hi. Hi, booze. How are you?
What a pleasure.
So happy to have you.
And on Thirsty Thursday, for us to be here and with you.
I love Thirsty Thursday. So this is going to be sound annoying, but I was on Colbert on my birthday and we were talking about Thirsty Thursday and he was like, what do I have to do to like be honored? And I was like, you're hot. I'm on it. So like, I have the biggest crush on Colbert. It's
me
like,
too.
I'm always like trying to be like so chill. And then I just go on his show and I just like flirt with him the whole time. And I'm just like, is this? And then like my dad watches and I'm like, I should go to therapy to unpack this entire scenario because yes. It is
knowing your father's going to watch.
Yeah.
I tried to get something going with Colbert. I couldn't get anything striking up between us, you know?
No passion, no spark?
I tried. I tried with him, with Conan. Like, I just tried to you know, I'm alive. I still like a little something. And
I'm still trying with Andy Cohen.
Listen, what I will say about Colbert is, like, he's so respectful and, like, you know, he like loves his wife so much.
So frustrating.
That's the problem.
He must be very tasteful, but I feel like I made him blush a little bit. So I'm like, I got a little crack in there.
Okay. That's you got cool. A little crack.
Yeah.
Phoebe, we loved your book so much and we want to talk to you about it more, but congratulations on its publication. So wonderful.
Your third book. Jeez. You're busy.
Third book. And if I may, I'd like to give a little plug for an event that we're doing together, which is coming up on October 5th at Dynasty Typewriter, which I love this name. And you and I are in conversation with, and when I tell you, this is so sad, but so genuine. For my whole life, I've wanted to be on the receiving end of in conversation with. It just feels like so good.
So elevated.
It does. It really, really does feel elevated. And it's going to be an in-person event that you can buy tickets for. And I'm incredibly excited about that. So get your tickets.
It's going to be so fun. I love Dynasty Typewriter. The people that come there are such good crowds. So like, we're going to have a great time just being dorks together. That's what I'm excited about.
Me too. So it's October 5th, 8 p.m. You can still get your tickets. I'm thrilled for that. Tell us. So I have so many pages of notes about your book. It's a bit upsetting.
I'm like, I'm Hylet.
I just want to throw out one quote, just if I can, just to get us our feet wet, okay. Which really made me laugh out loud. I really wished I had focused on squats anywhere from middle school to my middle thirds, so I could have built up the thigh strength to ride the D for more than 8.6 seconds. Gorgeous words. I have never related more to a sentiment.
I'm like, when people read that, they're like, is that Maya Angelou or is it Phoebe Robinson? I can't tell the difference. I cannot tell.
It's so hard to parse out who is who.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And believe me, that will follow you from the cradle to the grave. That will be on your tombstone and you should feel good. I thought this could be your Housewives tagline. Like if we all, you know, we all have a Housewives tagline, and I found one in your book, which just simply says, I am made up of opposing philosophies, alpha leader and a lazy piece of garbage.
Yes, that is perfect.
Alpha, beautiful. But your book is truly, it's so hilarious. And then I love the way it'll flip kind of on a dime. And I mean that in a beautiful way, because it's so wonderful the way you flip tonally. It's always still your same tone, but you really will sink in deeper on certain kind of issues and things going on, but you're always so yourself, so hilarious through the whole fucking thing. Like, I mean, it's absolutely such a wonderful book that you wrote during quarantine. Mm-hmm.
It was wild. I turned our dining room table into my desk, and you know, we live in a 2-bedroom apartment in New York. You know, we don't have a balcony. You know, my boyfriend's white and British, and he's so adorable, but he is obsessed with war movies. So literally, he would be in the bedroom, like crisp 8:45 in the morning, queuing up Band of Brothers, and just like, I'm like, what are you doing? What is this?
Phoebe, I'm so sorry to stop you, but Danielle has told us many times she like jerks off to Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers is something I turn back to in my life over,
so weird.
And over and over again. I want to go on, and I don't know if your lovely boy from British Bake Off would like to come with me on a Band of Brothers tour of Europe.
I think he would do it. He's like, I've seen this series so many times. I'm like not into war movies just because they make me so sad. Like when I watched Dunkirk, I was devastated at the end.
But I loved it.
Perfect movie.
Oh.
But he would totally go do that with you. And I'd be like, have fun.
I'm obsessed. You don't understand. It's wild. I'm like a middle-aged man. I'm truly obsessed, but
I just want to quote one more part, and then we are going to need to get into Housewives. But I, like I said, you know, your subject matter ranges from, you know, the legendary advice I guess I received from you, although you were troubled by it as well, which is that we need to change our underwear every 6 months.
Yeah.
That was shocking. I was like, oh no.
That was hard to hear.
I'm not even kidding you, Phoebe. I went out and bought new underwear immediately.
No.
Immediately.
That was hard to hear.
No. It was hard to hear. I don't follow it. When I heard that rule, I was like, this is insane. I usually, like, it starts to get a little saggy, a little Swiss cheesy. And then British Bake Off is like, he's like, you can afford new underwear. Like, you 100% can.
You're at the place in your career.
You know, even if you are lucky enough to get a little more money, there are certain areas that you refuse to elevate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to get a nice couch. Like, you're going to go through your various areas, and then the underwear just never made it.
Yeah.
Where I am. She never did. But then you have an incredible chapter called We Don't Need Another White Savior. And I have to quote a line from it. This was unbelievable. Basically, white guilt is a Kathy comic, y'all. Like, that bitch always has a sob story, constantly caught up in the drama without realizing she's a key architect of the spectacle that is her life. Always getting fired and acting like she doesn't know why. It's like, Kath, Jamba Juice let you go because you were making smoothies to bring home to your cats. Hashtag this concludes my anti-racism seminar. Hashtag can I get paid 40K? It's so
succinct. So beautiful.
Again, gorgeous.
Again, is it me? Is it Ta-Nehisi Coates? Who can tell?
I didn't know at point.
I didn't know who I was reading.
Yep.
It was. It put it so beautifully, and I appreciated it. I also was very struck by one of your chapters on travel.
Mm.
I thought that was such an important and beautiful travel. And I just wanted to read a highlight from it. Excuse
you
me.
Guys are so cute with, oh, I love this. This is great.
Highlighting scratches an itch for me, though, like tabs. And there was just so many things to tab. And Danielle's really working with like a dog-eared copy.
Yeah. I'm like, can I just do this? Well, just because I thought you hadn't traveled in your life and didn't think you needed to, and your parents hadn't, and I found out, you know, just sort of the reasons behind it. And I thought it was, wow, like it was just such an eye-opener to me. And it was also just, I just wanted to quote something from it. Y'all, I'm so starved for Black people just living their lives and traveling, tale that I would settle for a short story about Brooklyn-based Afro-Latino using an easy pass to head into Jersey for a Target run. My standards are that low. In all seriousness, we don't show enough how freeing, enriching, fascinating, influential, and informative traveling can be. According to society, we're not supposed to explore or have full lives the way white people do. Instead, the most we should aspire to is a middle-class suburbia where we tolerate macro and microaggressions that are the byproduct of having made it, such as a passive-aggressive neighbor who notices your grass is a few inches higher than usual.
So, that happened to my brother, and they put like a pamphlet in his mailbox just to be like, these are like the community rules. And I wanted to be like, this dude is working like 1,000 hours a week at a nonprofit. Like, it's just grass. Like, he's really trying to like do some good, like leave him alone. But it was just so, it's so wild.
That's so fucking wild. Who the fuck would do that? Like, that's.
Yeah.
And who really, cares? Who, yeah, fucking, who cares?
Exactly.
But I just, yeah, that whole chapter on travel and you traveling, I just thought was beautiful and wonderful and informative and heartbreaking. And I really want everyone to read it because I think it was an eye opener for me. And so I just thought it was beautifully written.
Thanks. I really wanted to write that one just because I miss traveling so much. And, you know, that was how I met my boyfriend and how our relationship blossomed was sort of visiting each other in other cities. And so when that sort of went away because of COVID, I was like, I got really nostalgic and I'm like so desperate to like travel again and just like eat different foods and like experience different cultures. Like I've never been to Tokyo and I just like want to go and like look at the fashion. Like I'm so writing that essay was a lot of fun.
Well, I thought it was wonderful and I hope everyone reads it and you should. Don't talk to me if you don't.
That's what I do. Okay. let's sink into, if we could, Phoebe, some housewives. Can you just give us an overview of how you came to the show? What are your favorite cities? Where are you in your headspace with the housewives in this current moment?
So I'm going to date myself, but I started at the beginning. Like I was in college. Well, I'm 37. So it's been what, like 20, like almost 20 years, right? So I think like,
God bless those years.
So I think maybe sophomore year, because Orange County was the first one.
Yes, and I'm 3 years older than you, and I saw the first Orange County out of college. Yes. Out of work. Yeah.
And I forget her name, but I remember she was the one who was married to the baseball player who, like, never
Gina
gave
Keogh.
Her. Yes. And he would, like, never gave her any attention. And I was like, she's so cute. Like, what is wrong with you? So I've been through it, and I've gone through, like, I go in and out of season. So I was watching like all of them for a while. And then my dad was just like, you're a feminist and you're watching this show. It's so bad for rent. And I was just like, okay. So then I didn't watch for a few years. And then I was like, I'm just going to start watching again, like not tell my dad. And I like felt like so grown at like 28 to be like, I'm watching again. So my favorites are Atlanta, although Atlanta's not as good without NeNe Leakes. Just gonna say it.
100%.
Yes. R.I.P. Greg. Where are you on Greg's passing?
Oh, I know. That was so sad because I do feel like so many of the house husbands are problematic as fuck. And you're like, yikes. And I felt like Greg was such a nice guy and he always wanted the ladies to get along. You know what I mean? And I think some of the house husbands like the drama so they can get screen time. And he was just like, y'all are friends, like don't fight like this. And so I'm really sort of so sad about it because you could tell how much he really loved NeNe, how much she loves him. And like
he let her be her too. Like he loved her for her.
Exactly.
And grounded her too and was just a sweet person.
So sweet. So Atlanta, I've seen all of New York, Potomac is Salt Lake. So I think those are the four that I'm currently watching.
Yeah, I think those are the four to watch.
Guys, Salt Lake, Salt Lake, and Jen Shah. I'm just like, listen, you know what? If you want to commit fraud, I get it. I wouldn't do it.
I get it.
But I understand.
I get the instinct.
But then don't go on TV where you're going to open yourself up to being exposed and caught. Because when I was watching it the first season, I was like, she literally has like Versace everything, this like gorgeous house. And I'm like, her husband is like an assistant coach for a garbage college football team. I was like, how are they affording this? And then you read the news, you're like, oh, okay, that's how.
Well, we all were.
And that was the same with Teresa Giudice and Erica Jayne. Mm-hmm. It's like it's almost like there's an unconscious need to flaunt the wealth at the before the end or something. It's like very, or to go further with it. Because Danielle and I did look into his salary and that didn't feel good at all last
year. We researched. We literally were like,
we are journalists. Please know. And by research, I mean, I just asked people, what do you think? And then people were like writing and they're like, my husband's an assistant coach and this is...
Well, we were also concerned about his timing, like his time. He didn't seem to have any time for her or for her father's funeral. And so we were like, you're an assistant football coach. Like, where... So we wanted to know money and where's your time going?
But it turns out they are very busy.
They are
so
very
busy.
So
what's his salary? It's what, like 60K or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Gets you maybe, that's one Gucci purse a year.
Yeah. I mean, if that, after taxes, like we're talking, you can't, I mean, they are living in a chalet. She has eight assistants. Some of them who are in on the crimes.
Stuart.
I know. Oof. Yeah. So
where are you with the other Salt Lake women right now, such as Meredith, Lisa Barlow, Mary Cosby,
Maryam.
Maryam. Yeah. I mean, and the like.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start with Meredith. I don't have kids. I don't want to be a mom, as I write about in the book, but I'm living for her mama bear energy because you cannot, like, here's the thing about Real Housewives. It's all about being messy. It's all about being shady, but you keep it with the adults. And so I feel like with Jen sort of going after Brooks, especially, honestly, like, he has to figure out his sexuality. And I think that this is actually very disgusting behavior for her to do this when he's trying to process who he is and to do it on social media. Like, this is the kind of stuff that like drives people to do self-harm because it's like, they feel like they don't have control over their lives. So this is where I'm like, okay, I think we need to see Jen through this season and then she has to go because I think you can't go after people's kids. It's so horrific.
Well, she might be going anyway. You know, might not get her.
Also, so I, in the history of Housewives, like, we don't really, well, we've had like a couple on, but we don't like to interface with them because it's scary and things.
We don't like to fly too close to the sun.
Yeah. But I did reach out. This is so wild. It's so embarrassing when you DM a celebrity. Like, I'm embarrassed, but I did reach out to Meredith Marks. And I wrote, I'm watching this week and I'm absolutely astounded by the behavior of Jen Shah towards your son. I'm appalled and I'm so sorry. What a weird, like, who cares?
No, she wants to hear that.
I had to because I was like, this is so fucking disgusting. And she wrote back, thank you so much.
That's very Meredith. You know what?
Nothing. She gives, that's the warmest we'll get her. And I feel like that's, that she gave, that took all the energy from her. She needed to go to bed after sending that DM.
I thought so too. And for her to take the time, I thought was nice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, her fashions leave a little to be desired on that rack.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like she wants to give it a go and be, you know,
a college try.
Yeah, and be adventurous, but I'm just like, maybe hire a stylist who can select things for, like, if you want to be adventurous, I don't think you can do it on your own unless you're like a Tilda Swinton who's like, brain just operates differently where she can just go cuckoo and it's fashion.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
See, I think, unfortunately, she thinks she is the stylist and that.
Oh, no.
You know? And, and that is
watching them pick through those pieces this week. For me,
one by one on that bare rack.
And when she was just like, that's amazing. I was like, oh.
I feel terribly because just 2 seconds ago, I was basically crying to her. And now I'm about to say something even weirder, which is that, you know, Jen Shah keeps saying the tweets were a misunderstanding. And I did write down, like, I do think another big misunderstanding in that family is Seth's soul patch.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to him now. That's a fact.
You know, Seth is cute. I'm glad they fixed their marriage because I was like, you guys can't give up. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're good together. Like, honestly, listen, I understand that marriage is probably, I shouldn't say I understand. I'm not married. I can imagine that marriage is difficult. But listen, like, when you have a good partner, like, you have to just like weigh the good and the bad. If this person is so down for you and so there for you, loves you so much, like you have to let the bullshit go and just like maintain the relationship, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Just hang on.
I think they do have a healthy relationship. They just need to fight for it, which they are doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary M. Cosby had what I believe to be a stunning week and a, just insane.
Stunning 2 weeks.
Crossover with Kathy Hilton to me in that you're like, what? What's happening? But there is a daffiness I personally find like lovable, and I have to set aside whatever might be going on in that church.
Yeah, the churches, I'm like, is this like... Like, what's happening? Like, how does she have so much money? I'm like, is this a front? Is this Ozark? Like, what is going on? Where's Jason Bateman? What's happening?
There might be a Nexium level kind of thing at play. I don't know.
Yeah. Because she's so wealthy and she's married to her step grandpa. And I just feel like we all breeze past it. And I'm like, I think we should, like, Hank, go back. Let's go back and
take a
UH
like, basics.
Let's like dig into that a little bit more because that's not normal. And I'm also like, I understand like this is like her grandmother's dying wish. So you tell grandma, yes, of course, I will do it. She passes away and then you don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like my grandma's dying wish was that I go to college.
My grandmother's dying wish was that I have a nose job and I didn't do it. We all do what we have to do when they're a passing, and then we make decisions for our own life. Do I regret it? Unclear.
Well, because to me, it's like she is a victim of like this familial structure that has been like thrust upon her, and it's very sad.
Yeah.
But yet, when she is breezing past her own fashions and chatting about them and to them, I can't help it. I do have a big soft spot for Mary.
Me too. Yeah. And sometimes she lands and I'm like, oh, she's the wisest of them all. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes like her eyes kind of focus and you're like, oh my God. But then she's like, oh, wait, be quiet. I got a fart. Or I got a poot, she said. And then stopped everything. Farted, and then we all were supposed to take it. We were all just sat there and took it.
And then she's like, Meredith knows this about me. Like, the way I'd be like, oh, my friends know I'm always late. Like, they accept
on camera, didn't care. Like, I would have, it was so shocking. I would have excused myself. Like, it was.
I was here for it. I was like, fart on camera. Like, that felt like the most relatable to me. Because I'm a farter, and I was like, girl, let it out. That was great.
That felt honest. An honest moment.
An honest moment. What about her views on, it seems to me, she kept saying it, on women's vaginal smell. She really went to town with her son. That was, to me, a tough thing.
It felt extreme. I was like, Mary, we don't smell like that. No. Like, what? It's never a problem. Like, we don't smell like halibut. Like, that's not what's going on here. So I just didn't understand the obsession and like her poor son. I'm like, you gotta just let him date. He's like 19. Let him like date, bang whoever he wants. He'll figure it out in his 20s or 30s. Like, don't put the pressure on him now. Like, come on. It's too
on
much.
Television about women's like vaginas. And
yeah.
But again, and I'm not trying to excuse it. I'm just saying like, the relationship she has with her husband, I think there's so much going on now with her son that she's wanting him to stay and like holding on to him. It's like both unhealthy in both directions. I feel like I want some middle ground for Mary. I don't know if we're going to get it, unfortunately. But
yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Any thoughts on Heather? I mean, she's become the fan favorite in so many ways. But where do you land on Heather?
Here's what I don't understand about Heather. First of all, let me just say I enjoy her business. I love that she's like, she's thriving. I think she's a great mother. I don't understand why she is so intent on salvaging this friendship with Jen. I'm like, do you want to be friends with someone who calls you Shrek? Like, do you, you know what I mean? Like, Jen's not nice to her. And Heather, like, bends over backwards. I'm like, Heather, like, You're great. I think she just needs, I think she is not realizing her worth because she is single and wants to have a boyfriend. And I'm like, she should just focus on dating and like just only see Jen when they have to do like, you know, group events because Bravo is requesting it.
When they have to hang out in an ice cave together.
Yeah.
I did appreciate her sticking her hands in the fire to grab a churro. That I felt was like,
that was the most relatable moment I had of like, I will burn my hands that create my business to get a churro. I feel like Heather, and I, this might be my own projecting of my own life, but there's some like high school wounds there, maybe with friendships or, and she has deemed Jen like the cool girl or something. And I think has a very hard time accepting, like she can't see the reality we see, which is like, Jen is actually not cool. And Heather's actually cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it makes me feel sad because I really love Heather and I think she's a sweet person.
She's so cute. Yeah, she's great.
And then there's Whitney.
Whitney wrote Wild Rose.
The wildest of roses.
What's her business? I'm so confused where she's like telling her husband. She's like, I'm so busy now. And I'm like, doing what?
I can't touch down on it. What is it? Genuinely.
Is it a lipstick? A lipstick.
Wait, let me look it up. What's her last name? Is it Whitney Rose?
Whitney Rose. She's a wild, rambling rose.
I'm becoming more attracted to her husband as the weeks go on.
Casey!
Casey!
Guys,
you deserve better.
No.
Guys.
Why do you want to smash?
There's something about his sweet little chipmunk, ruddy alcoholic cheeks that kind of... I don't know. The way he looks at Whitney, I'm like, he really does love her. He's a sweet man.
Come down on me for crushing on David Foster. And you...
Okay, that's also trash, Danielle.
Trash.
He's a talent and a hot man.
He is a talent and that is it. Would you spread for that?
Yes.
Seriously.
Oh, she would, a million percent.
He tickles those ivories and he can tickle my...
Girl, you better get pregnant so you can get some money out of that because the dick is not worth it. I'm telling you. You do not.
And I don't need to see, and I don't mean to discuss a peer in our industry and not a peer of mine well above me, but I don't need to see the like dirty talk between him and Catherine McPhee online that my eyes are seeing.
No. Oh my God. I was like, Kat. Listen, you turned your life around because American Idol was not it. And you were like, you know what? I don't want to have a day job. So let me get this old dude. But we don't need to see it.
No. And I feel like she's trying to be like, ooh, look, he's actually young and fun.
Yeah. Everybody. Like, isn't this cool? And everyone's like, it's not.
I'm in it. I get it. I'm in it. I'm there for it.
And I do feel there's like a performative aspect to a lot of new moms. And again, this might be my own stuff, but it's like, I'm trying to act like I'm such a mess out there and I'm look at my baby weight. And it's like, no, like there's women fucking struggling out there. Myself gained 80 pounds, like, and I have the means and I'm lucky to, you know, be able to like try to get help with it. And then just showing her body like that, it makes people feel bad. And I guess maybe again, I shouldn't judge her for putting herself out there, but there is just something so kind of tone deaf about it that she feels very actively like, it just feels to me like, I want to show you how thin I've gotten. Again, this is my own stuff.
It's my stuff too. Valid. There is nothing more angering to me. Nothing like it makes me crazy when they on any magazine or any Instagram, when I see like lost that new mom weight, like it drives me to a place because as someone who has just had a baby, you are in the throes of crazy. And to also have to like fit some societal standard of what we're supposed to look like during that time, oh, that's why I'm Potomac. And we can get to Potomac in a minute when Michael Darby was like, you're losing weight. No, I think that's, I wanted to reach to the screen.
I know.
And grab his fucking face.
I know. I feel like. Because it's like, yeah, you lost the baby weight because you have a trainer, you have a you know, nutritionist.
Tell us what you've done.
And also you got work done. Let's just say you got some work done. It's okay. But
let's not pretend.
People are not losing all this weight just from SoulCycle. It's not. I'm sorry. Oh, wait, one more thing. Okay, so Whitney Rose is a skincare line called Iris and Beau.
What?
Are those her kids?
I don't know. According to Page Six, she began the skincare line despite having a business major and no background in science.
Page Six is so shady.
This is so shady.
That was so rude.
Her skin does always have a glow to it, though.
A sheen.
Yeah. She says she's been developing products with someone for over 15 years.
What? I don't know about that.
That feels like a lot.
That feels like a long time to try to get a product to market.
Yeah.
Karen got hers out real quick. Karen saw that.
Karen actually has been working on that candle line because someone sent me a clip of Karen 2 seasons back. Now, that 3-wick candle, which I want it. So shady, the way she's always like,
look. It's got 3 wicks.
She's like, I have a 3-wick candle. She has 1 wick. And she's like, but we're both women in the industry and we're both strong women with candle lines. 3-wick, 1-wick.
Yeah. Now, if you want yourself a 3-wick candle, you know where you're going.
You come to La Dame. Let's transition into Potomac, if we can. Let's take a break, Danielle.
Yes.
Now we're back. Let's get into Potomac, which I believe is the greatest season we had.
Agreed.
And they just celebrated 100 episodes. When you hear the numbers, you're like, okay, I watched 100 hours of Potomac. And then that means 500 hours of Atlanta, 1,000 hours of OC.
It hits.
So much of my life is spent with these women.
Although yes. At least you and I have found a way to get paid
to monetize it. To monetize.
Which I think makes me fucking a businesswoman of a lifetime.
Now,
but
can I just say that Potomac delivers in every way.
Agreed.
For Giselle to throw a party outside her house in the mosquito bin while construction is going on simultaneously. We've never had this before. I mean,
she couldn't pause it for just that hour.
Okay. So let me chime in here. So I taped Watch What Happens Live last night with Giselle. And I have to say, going into it, I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about Giselle because I feel like sometimes she can like be a little messy in a way that's like hurtful. But after hanging out with her, I think
after spending some nice time with her.
Yeah, spending some nice time with her. I think she's, you know, there's like categories of housewives and there are some who really like get too sucked into it. I think they are like this, like whatever, super important and everything. And then there are people who have fun with it. And I feel like she has fun with it. Like, she knows how to be messy, but then she's just like, oh, this is all just, like, jokes. Like, I'm about, like, raising my kids. And so I think she's so funny. I do agree that she could have,
sure,
you know, gone to found an abandoned WeWork, maybe, and set up the party there. I just,
yeah.
She was trying to explain it last night. She was like, you know, once they start construction, you can't really stop. And I was like, right. So have it somewhere else.
That's a shock.
But she's great.
You're
she's
making great. Me think of something interesting about Giselle that I do like, because you would almost think of Giselle, who kind of is so gorgeous, you know, like in an Erica Girardi way, what we never see is her ever take down the guard. Giselle is aware that these women have said, shouted in her face, you have terrible style. Like, you have pretty girl syndrome. Your house is a mess.
That your ex-husband cheats on you all the time and has, you know, kids with different women. Like, they have said they've gone low.
But she's weirdly not defensive about that in the way that she's like, oh, I know I'm probably going to be made fun of that I have a party and she still does it. It's kind of, there's a self-assuredness there that I'm hearing what you're saying. That is kind of refreshing. And she's got her feet on the ground despite, like, yeah, she has problem with men. But I kind of like when they say that, she's just always quiet. She's like, like, she's never like, how dare you? She's like,
she doesn't lose her cool when they say the meanest of things. Like Wendy, who is now one of my new favorites. I'm curious where you are with
Danielle.
No.
Listen, I'm on the fence about Zen Wen just because she's not Zen. She's always cussing someone out. So I'm like, new nickname, please. But also, in her defense, if she wants to get breast implants, they need to get over it. Like, so many of them on the show, like all the different cities, they have breast implants. I don't understand why it's a big deal that Wendy has them too. And it feels sort of like they're like, oh, well, you like have a doctorate degree, so you shouldn't. I'm like, what is this like weird sort of like misogynistic sort of like, you shouldn't care about your looks because you like went to college or whatever. It's like, she wants to feel good. So just let her have the breast implants and move on.
I think with any new thing a housewife does, there's a need for them all to, they want to see someone be broken down so completely that she's like crying and being like, you know, it did hurt when those rumors came out. And like, I did. It's like, it's not going to happen. Like,
yeah,
they want her back in her blazer and kind of in her with her glasses on that Zoom. And instead, like, I get that her inner energy surrounding it is, to me, is a little off. Like, do you hear what Giselle's saying? It's there's something at work there. But I'm like, yeah, but yes. I'm 40. I'm having my own like troubled crisis. Like, it also just might be that, like, where she's really feeling herself.
Yeah,
she loves it.
I also think it's really funny that we are watching her like screaming at other housewives and yelling and, you know, but then like going into a Zoom where she is like saying important things. Like, it is funny to know this dichotomy of her life.
We've never seen someone like thread that needle seamlessly.
Yeah, just beautifully. I wish I could do the same. Like, just being a serious person, 5 seconds later, turning around and just being like yelling at other women. Like, it's just, it's a talent. And I mean that so with my heart.
I'm pulling up a tweet while we're discussing, but where are you with Candace, Phoebe?
You know,
not in a good place, it seems.
I'm really not in the best place with Candace. I'm just going to say this. Some people might drag me for it. This is all I'm going to say about Candace. She likes to go below the belt constantly and say really deeply hurtful things and provoking people to be like, what, you gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna drag me? I'm like, to me, she just reads like, oh, you are a person who never got their ass kicked. Because, like, she just thinks she could say something crazy to whoever. I'm like, Monique is not about that life. If you say, are you gonna put your hands on me? Monique is gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck you up. And so I feel like Candace did not learn anything from that situation other than how to cry while dabbing her eyes with napkins so as not to ruin the eyeliner. And so now she's going at it with Mia, who's like the biggest person there. Like, she's like three times as tall as Candace. And like, I'm just like, you can't talk about her mom. Well, like, you just cannot. That is so inappropriate. You can't talk about her feet. If she's you're being sizes, like, it's just is so insane.
And as someone with size 11 feet, that hit home for me.
It was so shitty. I'm like, who cares? And like, she's like, you're a stripper. And it's like, if she was, who cares
who
that she's
gives
she was a stripper?
Fuck? And she, I think, has been very just like, yeah, what do you expect? I was in the foster care system. Like, I feel like she owns it and she's like, and here I am. And yes, I've done some, like, she's very open about it. Like, oh yeah, I've had plastic surgery. Like, she's quite transparent about her life and should have, I think, nothing to feel badly about.
Yeah, the first time we met her, she told us about her plastic surgery on her vagina. She has been completely open with us in every way.
And to say her mom is low budget, like, I was like, it really like made me cry. I'm like, that's so mean.
Yeah. And I'm just like, all the girls on the show, like, they all say things that are like funny and messy and shady. But I feel like Candace is like, wants to be really hurtful. And I'm just like, you need to stop. It makes it not fun because she escalates it to such a place where you're like, why are you being like this? You know?
And she never backs down too. There was a tweet the other day that our friend Akilah sent us that was just like, she's like, I didn't know. When I said that stuff about her mom, I didn't know that she was in the foster care system or something. She's like, but she didn't say it like that. She was like, when I said that stuff about Bigfoot's mom, I didn't know she was in the foster. It was like, okay. Like, so now
it's
you
like
know.
Like when Louis C.K. in his apology used the word dick. It's like, these are tonally off. These two things don't go together.
Don't talk about someone's parents. Don't talk about someone's kids. The end. I'm not justifying physical violence. I'm just saying when you provoke people, you have to take ownership for your part of the fight. And I feel like Candace does.
I would have lunged across the table at her right then if she said that about my mom. And also, and now we do see next week in the coming up that Mia does throw some salad at her. And I died when I saw that. I'm like, I love this. She's just like grabbing at greens and just hurling them and seeing them fucking hit Candace's face. It was honestly more satisfying than when like Monique wrestled her to the table, which I also loved and have stood behind since moment one.
Same.
So I'm excited to see that summer salad like thrown.
Just thrown.
But Mia, so some people online, I'm just throwing this out there, are upset because Mia tweeted of Scala, wearing designer living in a townhouse with your mother. Wonder why we haven't seen your luxurious, lavish housewife lifestyle, ho. Nah, college kid, I'm a boss bitch. Hashtag Mia Thornton. Okay, so then she's apologized for it. In an interesting tweet in which it takes you on a bit of a ride, because first of all, it's hard to see. And by that, I mean, it is written on white background and then white lettering.
Oh.
So many people just couldn't read it. And here it is. And I'm trying to get at it. It's like a wedding invitation.
I can't see.
And she says,
oh my God.
So just she wants a lot out of this. She says, hello, social media family. While I take full responsibility for the recent IG posts and tweets over the last few months, I want to inform you that I have let go of my social media manager due to the nature and language of the captions and posts. I don't have time to keep up. So I'm currently looking for someone who will represent my brand and true self. In the meantime, sending love, peace, positive energy your way. My sincere apologies. Inquiries, email info at Mia.com. So it's both an apology and a job posting.
All at once. That was chaos.
chaos.
I
love
it. Yeah. I like Mia. Yeah. I think she's a great addition. I think she is really good at being shady and asking these questions to just be like, I'm asking as a CEO. And I'm like, do you think Sheryl Sandberg would be asking these questions? No, bitch.
Come Mama Dorothy.
So I like her addition. I am trying to wrap my head around her husband.
We're going to see more of him next week, I believe.
Yeah.
Why?
There's just, so he's home with the kids. So like she's working a lot and he's just always guilting her. Like, you need to be home. You need to do this, do that, whatever. And I just feel like if the roles are reversed, the man is not like expected, if he's like working a lot, to like pick up the kids all the time and do everything. So it just feels like he's being, it's like, well, you're here.
And she's running and expanding your business, if you're going to even have that mindset to begin with.
It's your business that you started. So shouldn't you want her to be promoting the business and doing more for the business? You have emboldened her to do that. You have given her that. And she has taken it and ran.
I also did, if I may, I thought he was sweet in the scene with the ice cream and her mom.
That was a tough scene.
When I did feel he was kind of as peacemaker. And a lot of people have sent me things that were like, it was weird that she was having this discussion with her kids there. And I don't know. It didn't bump me. I was just like, yeah, this is what's going on. And we're like trying to mend things. And I think she's a pretty big person. Like, she's telling her mom, it made me so sad when she was like, I'm suffering from this. And then she amended it and said, I'm healing.
Yeah.
That I thought was like pretty powerful, actually.
Yeah. And I feel like it's really, I think when we talk about family, like, we have to realize everybody's family is different. Everyone's like journey with their parents are different. And I really like that she's showing this on TV, because there are tons of people who went through the foster system and sort of have to reconcile with their birth parents about what that did to them. And I think she's being very brave. And I think I honestly think it was good that she did it in front of her kids, so they could see, like, this is how you can start the path to repairing a relationship with someone you really love, but you had a rocky time with. So I thought it was really cool.
I think her mother is being very brave too. Mm-hmm. And because her mother, I'm sure, and she has said there's so much shame around what happened and where she was in her life and her drug, you know, her drug addiction and all of that stuff. And she's trying to mend and heal from her journey. And to put that out there and go in public, so I don't know that I would do that. So for her to be out there and know that this is happening and healing in front of all of us, I thought her mother was also extremely brave.
And there's so many relationships we've seen disintegrate on camera. It's like, this relationship was terrible before you brought in a camera crew. And weirdly, this is the one situation I'm kind of like, maybe this is helpful. It's like, yes, it's a storyline, but they're kind of forced, quite literally, to like get together and talk. So I'm just, it's interesting, I think. Anything else on Potomac before we'll briefly touch down with Beverly Hills, if you don't mind. And I want to ask you also one thing about your imprint, and then we will let you go if you have one more second. Okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Where are you with Beverly Hills?
I have not watched.
Great.
Okay, so that's so where you are.
Okay, we'll cut that all. So nowhere.
Should I get back into it?
I do think you should, because just this season. Well, first of all, Kathy Hilton is wild, wild, wild.
Oh, wild. And you really need to just touch down on a woman we all decided we knew and we didn't know at all.
Ooh.
But then now to me, so she's so wacky. We thought she was going to be this like older sister Hilton kind of like
stony matriarch.
She's got little sister energy, wild, wild energy, wild eyes. Also could give a fuck showing up in sweatpants, like just things you're like, wow, you're trying to wrap your head around. But then the last couple of weeks, she to me is kind of coming back to what I thought a little bit when she was calling the woman that works for her, that lady. That was hard. And I don't know. I'm her journey. I'm now kind of like, okay, what's happening here? But the Erica Girardi, Tom of it all I'll say. It's dark.
Yeah.
It's dark. It actually takes the Jen Shaw thing like up one, not to put, you know, to
right.
Not to rank them, but
not to rank tragedy, but I think she keeps saying like, then Tom flipped his car 10 times and then my son came and then he was in the hospital and then the police were called and then an intruder came and everyone's just like, sorry, what? This week, Erica goes allegedly to everyone, but she's the one that told everyone that.
Yes, what? It's so
yes, okay, she I'm gonna goes, watch.
She's
I'm gonna
off
watch.
On another planet. And then she added one detail. I was howling by myself in my room. She goes, well, Tom's cataracts exploded.
What
now? What in God's name?
Okay, I'm going to go back and watch.
Oh, like in your book, when you were talking about how you hadn't seen Mad Men.
Yes.
And that you refuse to kind of fall in line with the cultural kind of pop culture norms and kind of the norms that society demands of us that we watch this. And I had that with The Sopranos. I watched it like 10 years later and then was like running around asking everyone, like, what do you think of the finale? And they're like, we already processed this. But
yeah,
that's where I am with Succession. I just watched Succession for the first time.
Should I watch it? I haven't seen it.
Oh, you need to. I mean, Beverly Hills, Succession. I know you're busy.
It's hard when people are like, watch this, but it really gets good 19 episodes in. And you're like, what? But it does get good a couple episodes in. But I feel like maybe this is where we'll find you with Beverly Hills, if I may offer. Can we quickly touch on New York and this season of New York? No reunion. That's been announced. I feel like Andy himself is just like, fuck this. Like, Ramona's not coming. Luann's not coming. They have all these stipulations. And I'm actually going to just say, no, you won't get any time. But then I'm also a little disappointed because I wanted to see them taken to task, like in a structured way. It's like I was in this acting class once where the teacher was like, I won't be coming back, but you all can teach each other. And I was like, what? Like, the inmates are running the asylum. And that's what I feel now. And I want the acting teacher, AKA Andy, back on the scene to put everyone in their place. What did you think of this season?
What I will say, I thought it was garbage. And I'm disappointed because I like love New York. I've watched every season. I like Ebony, but I was like, girl, you know Ramona is not woke. You know Luann, like, this is not the show for these deep conversations. Like, I just want to see trash. I want to see messy. And she was trying to take it to a place where I'm like, this is not the spirit of the show. I think Ebony's great, but it just was not the right fit. And I feel like there wasn't really a storyline. It was just sort of like Sonia being funny, but also like talking shit, but also being like really sad. Like, I don't know. I just didn't think they didn't have like a plot.
Yeah, we did not have a story this season.
The one thing I do put in context a little bit on Ebony's behalf is the time in which they were filming.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, was right before the election, on the heels of the summer that happened last year. And I think she felt some responsibility that I don't necessarily think she needed to take on in a way.
Yeah. 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 I just feel like these women are not, they want to keep it light. You know what I mean? And so I think like Ebony trying to go deep with them, it was just like not, wasn't clicking. And also like Leah was like, in such a rough place with her grandma. It was really sad. And I was like, I wish she could have taken like a couple of episodes off to just like start the grieving process, just because it was so like, she would just lose her shit on Ramona and was like, clearly it's about her grandmother, not Ramona. But also Ramona is like, you know, she's
we were in such a space of suspended grief with Leah too, that you're right. It just felt like, step away from the cameras and let's process this.
Well, that's how I also feel about, in general, like Jen Shaw and Erica, like, step away from the cameras during this time. I mean,
but also I don't want that.
Well, I don't want that. I don't want that. But I think if I were one of them, I would say, I'm going to step away for the minute and just get my shit together.
Gather myself.
Gather, process, not on camera. I mean, again, thank God that they're narcissists and they don't want to. But
a bunch of borderlines running around.
I just want to say one more thing about New York. The funniest part was Ramona bringing around Brashan.
The Tasmanian devil that is Brashan. Yes.
It's like, Ramona, you've been doing this for 20 years. I've never even seen you in a single frame with one other black person. And this is your good friend?
I've never seen a shoulder on the outskirts of the frame.
Not a one. It was so
preposterous.
Odd. So
we've seen Ramona's 90 woman birthday luncheon with all blondes. Like, I haven't even seen her with a brunette.
No, I haven't seen her with one Jewess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's
nothing. And she's like, Bershon and I go back. I was like, what?
I'm like, to casting? What are we talking about? What is going on?
To the call sheet. It's like, oh, who's this? Okay. That's such a funny point. Now, before we let you go, can you tell us about, obviously we've discussed your book, which we love so much, but tell us about your desire and where your kind of new imprint was born out of.
Yeah. So my imprint is called Tiny Reparations Books, with an emphasis on publishing women, people of color, and people from the queer community. And I met my lit agent, Robert Gensler, back in 2014. And he reached out to me because he saw me like listed on something. He's like, are you writing a book? If not, like, let's meet up. So we did. I talked to him about my first book idea, You Can't Touch My Hair. And then he asked me, he was like, okay, what's the end game for you? And I was like, well, Toni Morrison edited books, but that seems like a lot of work. So I'll just have an imprint instead. Like, I fully did not understand that that is way more work. I was just like, I love books. Books are fun. Let's do an imprint. And so
you're like, I will run Plume from the top down.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really been so exciting that here we are like 7 years later with this out in the world. And like, we really want to publish funny books, you know, books that have a lot of heart, some serious stuff too. And I'm really excited. We have 11 books, including mine, on the slate. Which is so nuts. It's so nuts.
But you're the perfect person to be doing this.
And to curate this.
Yes, because I look at your book dumps anyway on Instagram. As you can tell, I stalk you on Instagram. But and I have gotten so many great recommendations. You obviously are a lover of books and literature.
And you have great taste.
Great
and
taste.
And that's not just because you featured my book. But you really
do.
Your
book was so good, because sometimes you read books and they're like, it's so funny. And then you read it and like, you don't like, you're like stone face. You're like, where are the laughs? But like, I was literally like cackling while I was reading your book, Casey. It was like so good. And it was also, there was so much heart there. Like, it was really, really a great book.
Oh, I so appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. But I also love that you're going to do some emphasis on humor, just as someone who, I just love to read humor, you know. But again, that's what I love about your book, is that you can kind of go between tones. But again, it's all under this one umbrella of such a charming, likable person that you are.
And it's your voice. You really do feel like you're speaking. You know what I mean? Because I think sometimes even the best, you know, writers and stuff, they put on a tone when they're mm-hmm. writing, like their memoirs and things. And this is all you. And you're really threading that needle of being so smart and so funny. And but also when you get into serious stuff, it doesn't feel like a huge like it feels it's just beautiful. You've done such a good job. I really want everyone to go get this book today.
It's please don't sit on my bed in your outside clothes. It is out. Check it out. Grab it from a local bookseller. Grab it from Amazon. You know, we'll just get it where you can get it. Come and see Phoebe and I at Dynasty Typewriter on October 5th in conversation with. And tell us about your stand-up special briefly.
Oh, yes.
And where we can get it.
It's called Sorry, Harriet Tubman, just because, you know, she works so hard to, like, learn about navigation. And then I'm just joking about my boyfriend's uncircumcised penis. Was it worth it? I don't know, Harriet. I don't know if it was worth it.
We'll never but it's know.
But it's on HBO Max. It premieres October 14th. I'm very excited. We shot it in Brooklyn during the height of the Delta variant. So everyone was masked. Easy. We kept it very safe. No one got COVID. And I'm so excited. A24 is a production company that did it with us. And like, they're amazing. So I hope you guys laugh. It's a lot of fun. I joke about hanging out with Michelle Obama, quarantining with my boyfriend, reparations, therapy, civil rights movies. Wow. Sex. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot, of fun.
Also, that chapter in your book about your parents meeting the Obamas is fucking...
I mean... I love them, but they are always over it. And I'm like, can you guys just get into it? Just this one time.
Just this one time.
Yes.
Particularly this one time. Phoebe Robinson, we will let you go. Thank you so much for kind of showering us with a bounty of insights concerning these glorious, horrific women that we love primarily.
And you're a busy woman. So the fact that you take time out, not just for us, but for the more important, the housewives, it says a lot about their importance.
Thank you for wading into the garbage with us.
Of course. This was so fun. I love you both. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you to Phoebe Robinson. Thank you to Renee, our producer. Thank you to Caitlin, our editor. Thank you, Earwolf. And we'd like to close with a song. One Sutton Strack has dropped a song, a stranger song, on Instagram with her cousin, and it seems to be taking jabs at Erica. And it's just a real down-home number, a down-home number about being mean. And I can't stop listening to it. I can't stop thinking about it. So we'd like to kind of go out on this work of art and move over Candy Burris. That's all I'll say. Because here comes Sutton.
One, two, three. You, with your words hide not, and your swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your words like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out like I'm wounded. You, picking on a weird man. Well, you can take me down with just one single blow. You don't know what you don't know, and someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me. And someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is me. Why you gotta be so mean? You, would you switch in sides in your wildfire lies and your humiliation? You have pointed out my flaws again as if I don't already see them. I walk with my head down trying to block you out because I'll never impress you. I just want to feel okay again. Bet you got pushed around, somebody made you cold, but the cycle right now, cause you can't lead me down that road. You don't know what you don't know, and someday I'll be living in a big old city. Peter. I can see years from now in a bar, talking over a football game with that same big loud opinion, but nobody's listening, washed up and ranting about the same old bitter things. Drunk and grumbling on about how I can't sing, but all you are is me. All you are is mean, and a liar, and pathetic, and a lonely life, and mean, and mean, and mean, and mean.
Here we go, yes, someday y'all can clap.
I'll be big enough for you to hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is me.
Where'd our audience go?
And someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is me.
One more time.
Oh, someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me. Why you gotta be so mean?